The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. And for the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from our state magazine. Today's reading of our state is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving our community since 1974 and underwriting our podcast for over 15 years. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. And now it's time to return to the September 2022 edition of Our State Magazine, celebrating North Carolina. And we thank the fine folks at Our State for supplying this to us free of charge so that we may share the content with our blind and visually impaired or print impaired readers. The theme this month is Carolina horses, and there's a whole bunch of them. They're all brown, prancing through the low waters somewhere. There's an article called Spanish Mustangs on the Outer Bank, so perhaps that's what it is. Anyway, this week we are going to read a series of short items. They actually come in several articles, but within the articles there's all little pieces about individual places. So we're going to learn about a lot of places this week. The first article is entitled Be and Beyond. I suppose that's a little pun on B&B, bread and breakfast. We shall see. Welcome to a new breed of B&B. Across the state, innkeepers are reinventing the classic bed and breakfast with sleek surroundings and contemporary comforts. At these five getaways, guests sleep in style and wake to gourmet meals. Come on in. Make yourself at home. The first sub-article is entitled A Well-Traveled Inn, and it is in Washington, North Carolina. From the petite biscuits served at breakfast to the mansion's globe-trotting decor, the innkeepers at the centuries-old Elmwood 1820 Bed and Breakfast Inn have put their own spin on B&Bing. Written by Susan Stafford Kelly. Fine old picture here of the mansion, a mini mansion, let's call it. It's two stories high. It has one of those classic full front porches with some columns holding it up and, of course, white picket-style fence in front. And then it continues right on up to the second level, where part of that level is decked out in a smaller, not full width, but rather center section porch. And there are those wonderful round, what are they called, Corinthian columns, perhaps, there, extending on up to a massive structure. At the top, the roof comes forward and has a triangular shape, which is very thick and big. And, of course, there's a few bushes out front, and there's a brick stairway going up, and there's some big planters on each corner there, and a beautiful front door and lit up, and you can see all the lights in the house. There's another photo here looking down from maybe, I don't know, the third floor around a circular staircase. And the caption says, inside and out, the look of the Elmwood 1820 Bed and Breakfast Inn commands attention, including the mansion's Italianate exterior and its spiral staircase that connects the home's three floors. This, I see, it's kind of interesting. We're looking at the stairway, the circular stairway down to the first floor, and each of the stairs is carpeted in a red, what I would call a red oriental rug, leading to an oblong oriental rug in front of the front door. And then you go on a bare floor as you continue on the flat surface on the second floor, and then it continues with some regular carpeting up to the next level. All right, enough of the pictures. Let's get going with the article. Richard Smoot makes no bones about his role at Elmwood 1820, a luxury B&B in Washington, I'm Carson, Mrs. Hughes, and Mrs. Pattimore, all rolled up in one, he says, referring to the butler, housekeeper, and cook characters in Downton Abbey. Instead of an English estate, however, he and his husband, John Butler, are the innkeepers at the grand blue-and-white Antebellum mansion with a wraparound porch and a fairy tale-worthy spiral staircase that spans three floors. In 2012, John and Richard were visiting family in Coleraine for Christmas. They took a drive. I was desperate for cell service, Richard says, and wound up in Washington, where a for sale sign on the home caught their attention. They lived near the other Washington at the time, working in PR and marketing and architecture slash project management, respectively. On another visit 2 years later, the sign was still there. The pair had stayed extensively in B&Bs, and for Richard, who'd worked in the hospitality industry as a young man, it was both an omen and a beacon. We had two teenagers, my grandmother and my mother, living with us. I was already running a B&B, he chokes. In 2015, they bought Elmwood 1820 and spent the next year preparing it for occupancy. And not just any occupancy, but for guests who appreciate high-quality linens, complimentary champagne and cocktails, bathrobes in luxurious molten brown toiletries, and baskets of international snacks in each of the five rooms, christened the painter, the gardener, the explorer, the writer, and the romantic. We discussed the kind of guests we thought would be visiting, Richard explains, and came up with those. Each room is decorated with art, books, and even furniture relating to a specific theme. A couple from Colorado, who moved to New Bern and are using Elmwood 1820 as a base for exploring the area, gather their things. Another duo wanders by, perhaps. They belong to the car with the Idaho license plate. Every single one of our visitors is awesome, Richard says, from the Swedish family that was touring the East Coast and just showed up to the folks coming from as far away as Chocowinity, a whole 3 miles away. Elmwood has had nearly a dozen owners since it was built in 1820. 1820-ish, Richard amends. The Grist family, residents from 1855 to 1907, completed the second floor and added a third floor, a wraparound porch, and an Italianate facade to what was originally a federal-style residence. It's not a pure example of anything, Richard says. As with many mansions in the Southeast, it was used as a hospital and garrison headquarters for Union soldiers during the Civil War. They didn't ruin anything in this house, but I think they accidentally burned half the town down, Richard says wryly. Today's decor reflects Richard's and John's passions and personalities, an eclectic mix of classic, chic, antique, and funky, from the baby grand piano in the bar to a tower of LED cubes that glow colorfully when darkness falls. Here's a live-edge wooden coffee table, a basket of hats for sunny strolls, and a sizable collection of African, Asian, and South American art amassed by John and Richard, who visited 51 countries during Richard's career with the U.S. State Department. The dining room, with its commanding chandelier and 100-year-old hand-blocked wallpaper, is where the second B in B&B can be found. Breakfast is the best meal, and I take it very seriously, Richard says. Today's features lemony yellow scrambled eggs beside a French toast casserole, both airy and as a souffle, smothered in homemade strawberry compote and served with petite biscuits that are square rather than round, since Richard sometimes uses the same cutter to make shortbread for occasional afternoon teas. Don't feel like getting out of that fluffy bathrobe? Breakfast or coffee and tea delivered to your room, or opt to dine on the magnificent front porch overlooking a pair of fountains that provide a steady, soothing backdrop. Or take a mug and stretch out on the velveteen sectional with a coffee table book on Giotto. After all, the best aspect of the perfect B&B is to just, well, be. Elmwood 1820 Bread and Breakfast Inn is at 731 West Main Street in Washington. They are at elmwood1820.com. couple of photos on this page, a very large bedroom. It's got a sofa and an upholstered chair and a fireplace and a four-poster bed and a chandelier and reddish or sort of rust-colored wallpaper all around. And then here's the bar in front of a fireplace and a baby grand piano. Moving past an ad for UNC Health Johnson. 2020, get with the guidelines. Gold Plus, Target, Stroke Honor Roll Elite, Target, Type 2 Diabetes Honor Roll, and Stroke. In the neighborhood, downtown Washington, exploring the original Washington invariably leads Elmwood 1820 guests to the Pamlico River. Some of Beaufort County's oldest buildings are now home to restaurants and shops that preserve the town's charm while writing the next chapter of its historic story. Been there many times. Interesting little place to visit. We used to have a place out in Bellhaven, which is a half an hour further out on the Intracoastal Waterway. And there's a photo here of the Pamlico River, where it comes into Washington. Very nice, long, well-maintained brick facade that you can walk along. You can eat at the Bank Bistro. With its soaring white columns outside and crisp white tablecloths inside, this refurbished 1852 bank building-turned-jazzy restaurant exudes old-world glamour. Try the filet mignon or the pan-roasted scallops and shrimp with a handcrafted cocktail. An old-fashioned might be appropriate. 216 West Main Street. Facebook, they are the Bank Bistro. King Chicken Drive-In. What began as a hamburger and a hot dog stand in 1958 is now a takeout restaurant serving an extensive selection of Southern comfort foods prepared by employees who, in many cases, have been working there for decades. The specialty, of course, is fried chicken served in a cathead cheese biscuit or accompanied by sides like lima beans, yams, or locally sourced collard greens, a Friday special. They're at 601 Carolina Avenue, thekingchicken.com. A block from the Washington waterfront, the Bank Bistro serves dishes like its take on the Oscar-style steak shown in this photo, a filet mignon topped with a crab cake and béarnaise sauce. Skipping by now, an ad for Hayden and Company. Some very pretty rings here, available in 18-karat yellow gold. They're on Oberlin Road in Raleigh. The Hackney. Visitors to the Hackney have two options, local, seasonal dining, and cocktails in a restored bank building. This one opened in 1922. Or a tour and tastings at the in-house distillery, which makes 1,000 Piers Gin, a modern-style London dry liquor infused with fresh botanicals whose name was inspired by coastal Carolina waterways. Or why not both? 192 West Main Street, thehackneywashingtonnc.com. You want to shop? Little shops. Step inside this 3,000-square-foot destination to find more than 15 vendors selling antiques and locally made crafts and gifts. Some of the little shops include Color Me Vintage for Rada knives, furniture, and Washington T-shirts, Me Time for bath and body products, Sails and Tails for nautical decor, and Wendy's Workshop for tobacco stick well art and other woodwork. They're at 223 West Main and Facebook as Little Shops of Washington. Then we have Lemonade Art Gallery and Gifts. Bright and cheerful, like its namesake beverage, this gallery and gift shop features works by local artists that will liven up your home. Pieces include colorful glasswork, intricate paintings, handcrafted woodcraft, photos of local landmarks, and even local honey. 201 West Main Street, thelemonadeartgallery.com. You want to play? How about Inner Banks Outfitters? What better way to explore Washington by water? Located right at the town's public boat ramp, this outfitter has everything you need to get started, including kayak and paddleboard rentals, plus bike rentals for land-based explorations. 1050 East Main Street, innerbankoutfitters.com. And the North Carolina Estuarium. more than 200 exhibits showcase North Carolina's coastal rivers and estuaries, see artifacts from the Pamlico River, enjoy interactive displays, and discover crabs, fish, baby alligators, and other creatures in the aquariums. Pamlico Riverboat tours and environmental heritage programming make for a fun and educational pit stop, too. And they are right on the waterfront. I know that. East Water Street. Have a long website address, though. partnershipforthesounds.net/NC-estuarium. You remember all that? Good. Here's an ad for Hypnos, H-Y-P-N-O-S, the most comfortable beds in the world. Never heard of them. The Organic Bedroom. And they are at Holly Ridge Drive in Raleigh. And now, Overleaf, here is a picture of a beautiful home, brick home, with white trim and a wide front porch with huge columns, and it's 2.5 stories tall, and the yard is fully landscaped and has a statue of a young woman in it. And it says the Chestnut Street Inn in Asheville is one of the finest examples of colonial revival style architecture in its namesake neighborhood. With sommelier and Airbnb host on their collective resume, Arturo Lille and Emily Kapp shine as innkeepers of the 1905 inn. Couple of them, a middle-aged couple, shown here, big smiles on their face in front of the staircase. Asheville hosts for the most. After spending years in the food service industry, a couple decided to share their commitment to hospitality with guests at the Chestnut Street Inn, a house with historic roots and modern amenities, written by Melissa Reardon. Positioned atop Chestnut Hill, a 10-minute stroll north from the clamor of downtown Asheville, the Chestnut Street Inn is as stately as the namesake historic district in which the graceful old brick home sits. Emily Kapp pours a glass of wine and kicks back in a rocking chair on the wide front porch of their 1905 bed and breakfast that she owns with her husband, Arturo Lille. This land was developed into one of Asheville's earliest neighborhoods during the city's growth spurt in the 1890s, around the same time that George Vanderbilt was constructing his grand estate. Doctors, lawyers, and other prominent citizens were filling Chestnut Hills with sizable homes in their Craftsman, Queen Anne, and Colonial Revival styles. Even the mature trees and some stretches of brick sidewalks, many of them more than a century old, lend that same sense of dignity to the area. The Chestnut Street Inn, originally built in the Colonial Revival style by author Thomas Wolfe's uncle for lawyer William R. Whitson, features architectural flourishes, some of the original fireplaces and light fixtures, and some of the neighborhood's finest interior woodwork in handsome tiger eye oak. It's speculated that Biltmore craftsmen may have worked on the home, as evidenced by the carved acorns, a Vanderbilt motif, on the stairway newel posts. This house is the ringleader of those gorgeous old homes, Knapp says. Kapp, K-A-P-P. It wasn't the neighborhood's charm that lured the New York City transplants to western North Carolina in 2014. A Boston native who grew up in Florida, Kapp had spent many summers at a camp in nearby Brevard and had always loved the area. The couple, both sommeliers who helped open New York City's first natural wine bar, hoped to do the same when they moved to Asheville. They soon realized, though, that the city wasn't ready for natural wines, which are made using traditional methods and without the use of chemicals or additives. It was all beer by the glass at that time, Kapp says. Instead, she and Lille waited tables and made jams, salsa, candy, and other food products, which they sold at tailgate markets. Even though Kapp makes excellent baked goods and Lille specializes in the flavorful condiments of Puebla, Mexico, where he's from, the food biz also proved not so lucrative. We were at a fork in our lives, Kapp says. Returning to New York was an option, as they had offered to serve as sommeliers at several restaurants there, as well as an opportunity to buy the natural wine shop that they'd helped open. But Asheville offered the quality of life they desired. Kat made a list of all the goals she hoped to accomplish in life, and she was surprised to see one that hadn't crossed her mind in years, operating a bed and breakfast. It had been a dream when she was 18. Though not financially viable at the time, she'd gone so far as to write out a business plan that included a cafe and a beer fridge on the honor system. Years later, in New York City, she'd operated her shoebox-sized apartment as an Airbnb and took it so seriously that she even included a pretty impressive continental breakfast. When the couple took over the inn in 2015, Cap told Leal, "Listen, it's just like restaurants, but it's literally every hour of the day." Now, looking back, Leal laughs. "We had no idea what we were doing," he says, opening a neatly wrapped package of potato chip and pecan shortbread cookies, which Cap bakes and sets out every afternoon for guests. The couple may have been green when they took the plunge to become innkeepers, but with their backgrounds in hospitality, their love of meeting new people, and their appreciation for history, they were naturals. Over their 7 years of inn ownership, Cap and Leal have slowly updated all 8 guest rooms with modern comforts while keeping the decor elegant and sophisticated. In 2020, their efforts earned them inclusion on the Select Registry, a standard of refinement that only 21 North Carolina accommodations have attained. "No dust or doilies here," Cap says, noting that clearing out dusty fake greenery and tacky chutkas was the first thing they did. She believes that Chestnut Street had been operating as an inn since the 80s. They even dug up more historical details about the house, the most fascinating of which is the fact that it served as a birthing center for unwed mothers through the 50s and 60s. "It's amazing to think how many babies may have been born here," she says. As Cap walks through the house, providing the rundown that she gives to all guests, she points out the local coffee and tea, port wine and beer and ice cream in the fridge, all accessible at any time. Breakfast service is evolving. As COVID-conscious business owners, the couple hopes to return to some type of seated breakfast in the fall. They also hope to offer natural wine tastings and Leal's popular margarita and salsa-making class later in the year. It's obvious that making sure guests enjoy their stay is paramount to Cap and Leal, but the exchange is not one-sided. Cap says that meeting people and learning about their lives fills their souls. "When you're hosting people in your home, it becomes so personal," she says. "I can't count the guests who are now on our Christmas card list or who check in on us and have sent us baby gifts. It has allowed us to build relationships that I hope we'll have for the rest of our lives." That was written by Melissa Reardon, and the Chestnut Street Inn is at East Chestnut Street in Asheville, chestnutstreetinn.com. Well, my goodness, this is an ad for Richardson Private Wealth Advisors. I used Mr. Richardson many, many years ago. He's still in business with Ameriprise Financial here in Raleigh. In the neighborhood, Chestnut Hills and around. Explore places to eat and shop in northern Asheville while enjoying a stay at the Chestnut Street Inn. Everything is within walking distance. You can eat at Taco Temple. Inside a repurposed 1930s mobile gas station, Taco Temple offers fresh, authentic Mexican cuisine. Order outside at the walk-up window and watch as chefs prepare tacos with spit-roasted pork served in homemade corn tortillas or Mexican torta sandwiches with pulled chicken in tinga sauce. Then grab a seat on the dog-friendly patio or beside the exposed brick walls and murals inside. 132 Charlotte Street, Liberty House Coffee and Cafe. This repurposed 1920s bungalow serves coffee and breakfast until 3 p.m. With gardens surrounding the cafe, the fruits and veggies used to make Liberty House's dishes are only a 10-foot walk away. Try the lunch BLAT, made with heritage bacon, gem lettuce, avocado, that's the A, and fresh heirloom tomatoes, or opera sourdough pancake with blueberries and maple syrup. They're on South Liberty Street. Plant. As delicious as it is revolutionary, Plant is one of Asheville's premier vegan restaurants, offering much more than salads. Chef Jason Sellers serves his house-made vegan bread alongside raw or gluten-free options like lasagna cruda, a raw dish made with heirloom tomatoes, herbed almond cheese, marinated peppers, and arugula pecan pesto. They're on Marimon Avenue. Ultimate Ice Cream. Originally social worker owners Kevin and Lucia Barnes still have a passion for giving back to their community. Customers rave about flavors like goat cheese and Bing cherry, brown sugar bacon and maple, and Kahlua mocha almond. On Charlotte Street, City Bakery. This Charlotte Street bakery has been making fresh pastries and brunch for around 20 years. In addition to sticky buns and muffins, regulars recommend the cheddar scallion biscuits with egg, bacon, and cheese, washed down with orange juice or a latte from the coffee bar. After you eat on the outdoor patio, pick up a loaf of country sourdough or a French baguette to go. They are on Charlotte Street. And how about drinking? Archetype Brewing. Brad Casanova opened Archetype Brewing, named after Carl Jung's archetypal... you're going to have to help me out there. Archetypal, A-R-C-H-E-T-Y-P-A-L phenomena. Sorry, I didn't do well in philosophy in college. With one goal in mind, to craft beer or as vibrant as West Asheville. Casanova knows that each beer has a personality as unique as its drinkers, with names like Liminal Being, a Belgian pale ale, and Unruly Mystic, a coffee porter. These brews encourage thoughtful conversation in Archetype's sophisticated Five Points Broadway District location on Broadway Street. And how about shop? Rose's Garden Shop. Brimming with unusual plants and garden oddities, the nursery feels like an enchanted forest. Foliage overflows from vintage pots, all carefully curated by owner Rose Bartlett, who has worked in garden design for more than 30 years and is always happy to share her knowledge with curious customers on Charlotte Street. We don't have time to read the next article, I don't think, so I'm just going to mention a couple of the advertisements here for 1 minute until it's time to say goodbye. This one is Shop, Dine, and Play at North Hills, Raleigh, Lululemon, Restoration Hardware, Warby Parker, Bonobos, Kendra Scott, The Capitol Grill, Bar Taco, Coquette Brasserie, haven't been there in a long time, Yard House, The Cowfish, oh, they're good, Alara plus Zane, Peloton, King's Dining Entertainment, Sur la Table, and Pure Bar. Visit NorthHills.com. And then over leaf, we have the high country of North Carolina. That would be Appalachian area, Beach Mountain, Sugar Mountain, and Mystery Hill. Let's see. Visit our fall guide at nchighcountryfall.com. Well, we have run out of time for today's edition of Our State Magazine, and I hope you enjoyed it so much that you'll join us next time. I'm Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's reading of Our State Magazine was underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving our community since 1974. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Our State Magazine is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org, so you can listen to it anytime. If you have any comments or questions, please call the studios, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.